T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Molly and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score. Gordon Whitmire joins us. Mr. Cubs man from the Sun-Times. Gordon!
He's our guy.
What's up, buddy?
What's up, guys? How you doing?
Getting ready for the big convention. And usually, well, not always, but there's usually some big announcements. So, I don't know, you wheel in a giant cake and Jake jumps out. How's that going to work? He comes out in a yoga pose, right? He's risen off a stage.
All of a sudden, Simon the Magician has got the box with the knives in it, and then half of Jake comes out. I don't know what happens.
I think you're probably more likely to see Simon the Magician than you are a big splashy signing. I don't anticipate that. I know there's been some buzz about that, and a lot of times there are some things that happen at Cubs convention, but this is a weird market this year. It's a really slow one, and I don't think that's going to suddenly change in the next couple of days.
And you wrote about it today. Everyone's got a theory, and a lot of yours makes great sense. Everyone's got an analytics department, guys breaking down the numbers, and they break down the reasons why you can't sign guys to 6 and 7 years, as people did at those winter meetings in years past. But this really is a polar vortex of the off season, right? I mean, 100+ free agents out there, and when does it change? And you know, who takes the first step? Does it have to be Darvish?
Well, I don't know. I mean, this is the bigger factor is the luxury tax thresholds. I wrote something about this earlier in the off season too, and this is nothing new. People have been writing about this all winter and really over the summer too. The revenues in the game have never been as big, and the franchise values have skyrocketed. But the new CBA has relatively low luxury tax thresholds, $197 million for your payroll this year. And that's not just your 25-man roster. That goes deeper than that among players, but also there's a roughly $13 million benefit share into the every major league team pays. That's part of that. So it's really a 180 something million dollar level. And if you exceed it 2 years in a row, the penalties start to get stiff. They start to become more than just dollars. They start affecting draft order and things like that. So baseball operations departments are incentivized in a big way to not do it, or at least not do it in successive years to exceed those thresholds. And the owners are incentivized just by all the money they can put in their pockets. So this could be a sign of things to come. And what we could be seeing is possibly trending away from some of the mega 7-year deals that we've seen in recent years. And because this being maybe the first real hard transition year of that, this might be why we're seeing the market held up as much as anything, with players still seeking those 6-7 year type mega deals, and those just not being there. And if this becomes a trend, then maybe a year from now, 2 years from now, you'll start to see a smoother process take shape, where 3 and 4 year deals become a norm again. Now, I don't know if that's going to be the case either. There's a huge class next year that maybe some people are saving some money for, so it could be a function of just this class too. We really don't know. And then there's the whole collusion thing, and we've seen it happen before with baseball teams and owners colluding to artificially keep salaries and years down. So there could be a lot of wheels turning, creating this situation.
When we talk about the Cubs in particular, obviously you talk about, are they going to add a frontline starter? So you go back and forth with they've got offers out reportedly to Jake and Yu Darvish and Alex Cobb. There are rumors about trades. Do you think it's one of those three? Or do you think they'll make a move? I mean, they're going to bring in another starter, right?
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
When do they get to Lance Lynn?
this could, it could go into February. It could start breaking loose next week. It just depends on who, you know, when the music's done, when the first guy takes the offer, when the first guy sets the market, then you could see, you know, the musical chairs start to fill in earnest. But until then, nobody wants to settle for these deals. You know, Alex Cobb goes out there and all of a sudden he's the popular guy because everybody's anticipating that Darvish and Arrieta are going to wait for big deals and maybe they can swoop in and get Alex Cobb. He's saying to himself, if everybody wants me, why should I accept what seem like low offers? Maybe I'll get more than people are projecting. So all of a sudden he starts, you know, essentially a bidding war in the second tier. Starts with Alex Cobb and he basically says, well, I'm worth more evidently than you guys are offering, so I'm going to wait too. I think ultimately I don't know if this is the way it's going to come down. It could be Darvish, but I still think Alex Cobb is the best fit, and I think that a lot of people on both sides feel that way too.
Are they done with the bullpen until at least the trade deadline and they give Brandon Morrow a shot and see if Justin Wilson looks like the pitcher they traded for? And I know that, you know, Joe was talking to Pedro Strop the other day, and of course Carl Edwards Jr. is hopefully in the mix as you move forward for the back end of that thing. But are they just content, or is a Greg Holland or Colomé out there a possibility?
I think these are all part of the balls that are still in the air. I don't think they're content, but I think they're ready. They're more than willing to go into spring training with what they have. And if they do, then I think you'll see them be extremely active at the trade deadline for a closer, the way they were in 16 when they went after Aroldis Chapman, assuming that they're where we think they are and contending for that division title again. So it kind of depends on how much they spend on that starter and how long it takes and who's still out there. I don't know that you'll see, you know, two big deals, like two big free agent deals. And, you know, I'm talking Greg Holland type things. But I don't think they're sitting around and ignoring what's left of the relief market either.
You know, you talk about free agency and what you can add, and we look at it strictly from, you know, where this team is and what they're going to do. They're in a division that they have dominated. You look around the division. Do you see do you see anyone getting closer? Do you see anyone making moves that scare you? Do you see any?
I mean, there's
evening up of
talk. The Brewers and Cardinals may be in on Darvish. That they might be that so-called mystery team.
But what have they done?
Yeah, well, the Brewers are really young. They're still getting better with who they have. Mm-hmm. I don't think they're going away. And if they add a real starting pitcher, a real frontline type of starting pitcher, they could be dangerous. They could make some serious noise. And the Cardinals, you know, I think people are underestimating the value of that Marcell Ozuna trade. He's really good, and that lengthens their lineup. You know, they've been, you know, people, yes, the Cubs have run away with the division the last 2 years. Now we saw it took a great second half last year. The Cardinals they've had winning records. And so, you know, they're not chumps, even as they're missing the playoffs the last 2 years. And they've already gotten better in some serious ways this winter. And they're not done yet. They've got plenty of resources left to make another big move. And they're looking for another big starter, just like the Cubs are. So there's a lot left to determine for all three of these teams that figure to be that at least internally in each case figure to be contending.
We've seen the Cubs not do anything but lowball Chris Bryant when it comes to arbitration. And noon today, either side, and there are other guys, obviously Kyle Hendricks, Addison Russell are involved too as arbitration eligible guys. But as both sides exchange those numbers, will the Cubs go that extra mile and really be generous and maybe give them $10-11 million to again buy some more goodwill from he and the agent?
Yeah, I don't know that it's so much an extra mile as maybe an extra 100 yards. You know, he's probably, you know, he compares to Ryan Howard. We know Ryan Howard is the guy that first year arbitration eligible record, $10 million deal with the Phillies 10 years ago.
Yeah, still holds, right? The record is still his $10 million. Yeah.
And, you know, some projections suggest that Bryant sort of falls in that 8.5 to 9.5 range. Well, if that's the case, why wouldn't you give him 10.1? You know, the Cubs can afford it. You know, it's not going to affect their luxury tax threshold. It's a one-year deal. And he compares very favorably. I mean, you're talking about, you know, Rookie of the Year, the MVP. They won a World Series the year he was the MVP. And you know, another good season last year. Why wouldn't you just do that? And for context on that, look at what they did last year as a record 0-3 guy. They didn't have to give him – they could have given him the minimum if they wanted. Obviously, you're not going to do that. But he's got no power, and they gave him $1.05 million last year, which just kicked him over the record for a 0-3 guy, a pre-arb guy. So I don't see them – I don't see any big dickering or lengthy haggling going on here between the two of them. They love Chris Bryant. There's a great relationship there ever since they screwed him on the service time thing. And I don't know why they, if it comes down to him really needing that record or his agent needing that record, and they're going to go for it, they're going to try, then why not give it to him?
Gordon, we'll let you go. Is there a headline that'll come out of this fan convention? You know, everyone had a good time. Is there any, you don't think there'll be a big signing or anything like that? What will be the talk of the convention? I was suggesting maybe we finally see Schwarber in person and people will be amazed at his change in physique and there'll be speculation about where he'll hit, et cetera.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's still a lot of that. I mean, there's a lot of conversation and maybe even some low-level drama on what Joe might say about that leadoff spot and right. Yeah, what Schwarber looks like. The closer situation, you know, we're going to probably hear from Moro for the first time for any length.
More theme trips. I want to hear more theme trips.
And theme trips, absolutely. Yeah,
more fun. You'll see the T-shirt.
How many pajama trips?
All right. Sounds great, Gordon. Appreciate it, buddy.
All right, guys.
We'll see you out there tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll be out there. That is Gordon Whitmire, our guy from the Chicago Sun-Times. You're listening to Mully and Hanley on The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Very kind from Les. What a nice thing to say. Les, by the way, profiled in The Athletic. John Greenberg talking about his favorite overnight guy. And
saw John in here a few weeks ago. I spent a considerable part of an overnight with Les, and John was talking about it, and Les was very kind to talk about everyone here at the station, and I can't wait to read the feature piece that's up on The Athletic as we speak.
Yeah, that's good stuff. And
on that morning,
wow.
Z.
What are you doing?
Wow. Fair and balanced.
On that morning, Brian and I got off the elevator. We happened to run into each other in the parking garage. We get off the elevator. Yeah. I mean, I thought that the world, I thought the clock, all of a sudden, here's
John walking the hallway.
Coming the other way. We were late. It was daylight savings time. It was spring back, fall forward, whatever.
No, it was like,
I'm like, what
it's
is 3 in the morning? There's nobody ever here.
I said, John, what are you doing here? He goes, oh, I'm just spending time with Les. And sure enough, he was, and he put it together in a fine piece in celebration of Les today.
That's a very good piece.
And Les.
Oh, man. That's funny.
Yeah.
But, you know, at that hour, and the other thing is, like,
at that hour, guys forget their names.
It's not just that. It's like you're calling in and you're trying to remind yourself that you're Dave and hi, I'm Dave. And instead you call him Dave.
And then Chuck.
I don't know where Chuck came from.
Yeah. Sometimes you get a question about Barbecue Bob. And Round Lake Steve, was it Round Lake Steve we'll call in? Round Lake Tom. Right,
I don't know.
He's got his
We've got Tom from Hangover Park.
Mm-hmm.
Got Tom from Algonquin. I know
Tom from Algonquin. It's not an official show until Tom from Algonquin calls.
How long did Kevin Zipek work with Les Grouse?
Boy.
Before or after Farmeal?
It was
we were on the 12th floor, right?
Yeah, it was when we were on 12, and after Adam Harris moved on to this show, and then I became the...
After he moved on.
425.
After he died on our show. What the hell is that? Oh, it was
about
after
a year.
Adam. So Adam did it for like a year, and then you did it for a year.
Just about, yeah.
It's a rite of passage, isn't it?
I guess you could say that.
Sure.
Yeah?
Yeah. Didn't...
I always enjoyed working with Les.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Les is a very nice guy. No question about it. I chatted with him in the hallway as he was leaving. We see him every morning, and he always is very friendly and saying hello. And not that everyone around here isn't. I mean, but Les is he's a legend. He's been at it forever.
Absolutely. Mount Rushmore. No beloved question. Bull.
He is the beloved bull. It's not
Jimmy Butler.
No.
Yeah.
No. But Les covered enough Bulls games, for God's sake. So
going tomorrow.
Yeah.
He's going tomorrow, and we'll see him at the Hawks game on Sunday.
Is it a game? Is tomorrow's Bulls game the kind of game you'd go to in terms of, you know, the debut of Zach LaVine? Is this some sort of, you know, moment in Bulls history? Is this a... how do you say it? Is there a chance for Zach to be a beloved Bull? You know, what's interesting about it is like the air show returns tomorrow, right? I know it's only for 20 minutes, but he's a high flying player. He
Move
is
over
a different,
Lauri Markkanen.
He's a, no. Lauri is a tall dude and a kind of European shooter. Let's be
did
honest.
Did you not
about
see him
it.
Slam dunk? The
I
other night?
Did, but this guy is Zach LaVine is known for his dunks. He's a dunk champion. And it's a different style than any LaVine. He's a different style of anybody else that
I'm so confused over Nagy and Negi. I don't need to get confused.
People are texting in about the Nagy thing.
I know.
Because the general manager called him Nagy, and apparently it is Negi, and people have checked in with him. The very fact that there is confusion as to how to pronounce his name is bizarre to me. Shouldn't we know that? I always thought it was Nagy, everyone called him Nagy, and then he shows up here, and it turns out it's Nagy. But then when he talked about who his father was, it was like he mentions his dad by name, and it was almost like, was it Nagy or Nagy? You could make an argument,
but he used both at once. When he finishes every answer when he is asked that question with, I don't care, call me whatever you want. So
exactly.
So no one makes an issue of it. If he doesn't make an issue of it, so now because the masses are settling on Nagy.
Isn't that weird, though, that, like, don't you, like, present yourself and again, hi, I'm Chuck. I mean, Dave. I mean, don't you call Les by someone else's name thinking it's you? I just don't understand why you wouldn't want people to pronounce your name correctly.
Exactly, right. Especially when you're in a high-profile position.
Wouldn't you just establish that state? You just call me anything, right? Just call me.
I mean, he's got, I guess, more important things than that. But
call me Nahigi. Yeah. Like, what?
The who?
Yeah.
Negi.
Is it Negi or Nagy? What is he saying there?
Well, see, that was like the hybrid of it. To me, he combined the two. He did the nah, and then he did the like,
nah.
Is that Pennsylvania? He combined the two. Yes.
Give it to me one more time.
And then Negi. He said Negi. Not Nagy. Negi. But anyway, yeah.
When I read it, the newspaper guy said it's long A's. But it's pronounced with long
Again,
A's.
When people ask him one on one, he says
Negi like leggy.
Like,
right.
Nay. Yeah, right. Nay is long A, right?
No.
Nay.
No.
Like, she walked in, she was a leggy blonde.
Yeah, that like
he
that.
He walked in, he was a Negi coach. Yeah. I'm trying to.
It's like rhymes with leg. But everyone's going to hop on you as soon as you don't say Negi.
Well, and again, the very fact that there is any issue about it, there's some lost. No question. Ryan Pace introduced him
as
Negi. Negi.
Right. Okay.
Okay. Joe, what have we settled on?
Nagy. Nothing. He knows it doesn't matter because people are going to mispronounce it anyways. Right. We still have people saying Mitch Trubisky.
Right.
Okay? Or we still don't know if it's Mitchell or Mitch after a year. So it doesn't really matter what he says. He knows people are going to get it wrong anyways.
How do we not know Mitchell or Mitch? His mom wants Mitchell.
He also said he doesn't care.
I know.
Ultimately, if they don't care, no one else cares.
But we get chided by people. There is a misunderstanding. There is a lost in translation. And
yeah, when is a text line ever positive?
When you butcher names as I do, I turn everything into a Southside Irish name. That causes a problem. Becomes even more difficult.
So what have we settled on?
And apparently, President Trump just texted in. Who gives a bleep?
Yeah, again, and I'm not like
my God.
I'm not political. I'm not going to get on any bandwagons here. I'm just going
to
tell
stick
you.
Stick to sports.
Let's not. But vulgarity, God, vulgarity. I don't want to hear. I don't want to be sitting there with my kid as somebody's, you know, quoting the president on national television.
That's all I've seen on Twitter. 4 hours this morning on Twitter. Yeah. I see those eight letters.
You know what we need? More Norwegian head coaches.
And here's the other thing. Like someone, I might have been Wolf Blitzer. He was using the term blank hole, and that's not what comes to mind when you think about.
No.
You know what I mean? Right. Like when I think of the blank hole, I'm of course thinking black hole.
I was surprised.
Like there's a black hole in space.
The Chicago Tribune.
That's not it.
Chicago Tribune website actually had the word written out on page one.
Well, you're quoting the leader of the free world.
Yeah. No.
Let's escape vulgarity.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Mully and Hanley, thank you, Joe. We appreciate it.
Love our texters. Every Bears name that's ever been mangled in the history.
Oh, yeah. It's so much fun.
Ask Alshon Jeffries about that. McGowan.
Yeah. Tariq Cohen. Erlacher? What is it? Was there ever an Erlacher? How about
Ortman?
Ortman is good.
Not
Josh McGowan. I mean, there's just so many. It's so much fun.
I smell a bracket game in March.
Oh boy.
The title of worst pronounced name on Chicago Sports Talk.
I think I buried that with Harbaugh years ago. Didn't we have a little thing about that, Dustin, where I was mispronouncing his name for a living? Okay, so bring back Brad Munster.
Or Eddie.
Oh,
well, that's Jay, right?
Yes. It goes unsaid until it's said. Not then, Jay.
That's the different Jay altogether. Okay, so we're going to talk a little Bills here. I want to talk about some of the stuff you're reading. KC with an interesting story today with the Dirk Nowitzki comparison to Lauri Markkanen, and of course David talking about how tiresome the tanking talk becomes when you see a guy like that show up. And again, seventh overall draft pick, I believe, right? So it's not like you had to be in the top two or three to draft that guy. He kind of fell to you at number seven, but it was a guy that they identified and wanted. I'm not saying that they didn't think he was going to be good, but I don't know that people realize how good he's been compared to other members of his class. Although, did I not see what's his name? Ball was knocking down. Lonzo was knocking down some shots yesterday. Did you see that? He actually scored some points. People, just when you bury a guy and you're finished with him, and then all of a sudden, you know, he does need more playing time and his father's correct and his – no, that whole story, that whole idea of his dad talking about the coach and everything, it's upsetting people
NBA.
Around.
It's
so bizarre.
High school.
It's so
it's
weird.
It's not grade school. It's the association.
Well, high school apparently in Lithuania, so that's where you play your high school ball these days. I don't know.
Does he have thoughts on that coach yet, or is he still formulating?
You know, again, the kid, his youngest son is supposedly going to be the big shooter of the group, and he pretty much – crosses half court
and
launches.
He put both sons under house arrest, and I think I'd rather be back in Beijing if that's the choice, wherever Latvia or where the hell they are.
The hotel's nicer. They're in Lithuania. Yeah. 312-644-6767. Do you want a guy coming off the bench? You want him starting? What's it going to look like when they finally get the band together? Mully and Hanley on the score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score. That is Zach LaVine, and he will be playing for the Chicago Bulls. back. He's back from the ACL injury. It's been a long, hard road for him to recovery, but he is recovered, and now he will not be playing in the second game of back-to-backs. That's smart. He won't be playing. He's on a minutes limit. He'll be playing 20 minutes a game. Will he start? Do you start him? Does he come off the bench? What do you want to see?
I would start him. Doesn't mean they will. And just because you start, I mean, does he get 8 minutes in the first quarter? Or is it five, six?
Why would you start him?
Well, it's not going to be 20 minutes consecutive, right? I mean, why would I start him? Because I want to see what it looks like. I want to see he and Chris Dunn out there together. Mm-hmm. I want to see, you know, what the future starts to look like. Again, you're not going to see the majority of his minutes, I don't believe. He's not going to play 10 minutes of the first quarter, and that's halfway to his 20 minutes limit. So he will be getting time off throughout the game, and maybe it's 5 minute increments. I'm sure they've talked about that. I'm sure they've got it down to the.
Again, I just remember when Michael Jordan had a broken foot, and the Bulls were going to go to. They weren't going to go to the playoffs. They were going to get a higher draft pick, and Jordan, he was on a minutes limit when he, hard to say, when he came back from the injury, and it would just be like the Bulls would be trailing. Jordan, come off the bench. Like it was like a chicken with its head cut. He was just everywhere, doing everything. They'd come charging back, and then they pull him out of the game, and then he'd have to sit there and watch. And he was so antsy. And then he'd come out and he'd go crazy and he'd just be scoring everywhere, doing everything, stealing the ball, blocking shots, coming down the other way, and then they'd pull him out of the game. And it was so clearly frustrating for him.
Sure. And it'll be frustrating for Zach, not that he's MJ.
Is that how it's going to work? Well, I guess the question is this. When you talk about minutes limit, do you – hey, feed him the ball. Let him get his shots. He's only 20 minutes.
No, you don't do that. Right. You do wherever the game takes it in the flow of the game. But, you know, not that he's MJ, but look, that you just heard the kid is sincerely thanking everyone, all the hard work he put in. And I still believe he's a little bit ahead of schedule, right? I mean, in his mind, he could have gone out there a couple weeks ago.
Right.
So he too is chomping at the bit. And once he gets out there, he's really going to want to stay out there. So, you know, he understands it. He was in the meeting the other day where they spelled it out with he and his representation and the medical staff. So it's not a surprise to him what's going to happen tomorrow night moving forward. But that doesn't make it any easier for a guy who at the tender age of 22 wants to be out there playing ball and doing what he does and then flying to the hoop. So we'll see. He's been doing it in practice. He's been doing the dunk contest in practice. So you know what he's capable of. And you'll see some of it tomorrow night, I'm sure. But, hopefully he gets through it and they can increase it. I don't know how quickly the increments go up, 25, 30 minutes by the end of the week. Who knows?
It's very interesting to consider the fact that they obviously were looking for him when they made the deal. He seemed to be the centerpiece of the deal. But you've always contended that it was actually Chris Dunn, that they wanted Chris Dunn for a very long time. And – you know, obviously the draft pick has turned out to be a pretty good draft pick. That, of course, Lauri Markkanen. So, I heard
something yesterday because one of the guys I know dialed into the Bulls heard that conversation on The Score yesterday on our show.
Yeah,
and was talking to him after the show, and he said it might be semantics. So, who the centerpiece was in that deal, but he told me on good information the day of the draft. At 4 o'clock, the day of the draft, so the draft started around 7 o'clock Chicago time, if I remember right. 3 hours before the draft, the deal was done and dead because Tibbs was not giving up Chris Dunn in the deal, and the Bulls insisted he be part of that. Okay, they agreed on the draft pick and on Zach LaVine coming back the other way, and Jimmy going to the T-Wolves, but the Bulls were not making the deal unless they got Chris Dunn, and Tibbs was not giving up on Chris Dunn, and then. Within a couple hours, so shortly before the draft, Tibbs called back to the Bulls and said, okay, you can have Chris Dunn, but I need the 16th overall pick. And the Bulls said, sold, and then the deal got done. But it was dead at 4 o'clock and revived maybe between 5 and 6. And that's how the negotiation went down. Doesn't mean it was a centerpiece, but it means they were insistent on it, and Tibbs was insistent he wasn't being part of it. And eventually... the T-Wolves acquiesced, but got a draft, first-round draft pick in return.
So who's going to be the best player out of that deal?
I have to see Zach LaVine.
It's this guy, isn't it? Isn't Zach LaVine?
Oh, I would know.
He's the best player at this point.
Who's got the most important position?
Well, it's probably the rookie.
The point guard.
Running well, the point, yeah, the point. I guess That's definitely the most important position.
I mean, however, you've seen what
the problem is, that there are so many really good point guards in the NBA that unfortunately this guy, because he is limited in his shot, I honestly think Chris Dunn has been a lot better than I thought he was. I think he's right now like a good backup on a championship team, a great guy to have, not the centerpiece of a championship team. When you look at some of the point guards in the league, where does he fit in? Yeah. I'm just saying it's a loaded position.
It's a loaded position, but right. I mean, is he going to be the best point guard the Bulls have seen? And that includes Derrick Rose, assuming he's going to be here. I mean, in case he's already writing about how much you're going to owe him in 2020 or whatever it is, a few years out. So, I mean, to me, with the improvement I've seen from the beginning of this season to now, and the fact that they're giving him so much more responsibility, I hope his ceiling is awful high. I mean, I can envision all-star games for him. And
really?
Oh, absolutely. When you're running this offense, assuming Fred's going to be here 3 or 4 years down the road, I mean, I'm interested to see how it plays out. I mean, you pretty much know the player Zach LaVine is, right? I don't know in terms of points and double-doubles and everything.
Zach LaVine, what's his career high in a game, Kevbo? How many points has he scored? I mean, this guy is a totally different animal than the rest of them. I think
scored 40 points against the Kings in 2016.
I mean, that's a lot of points.
Against the Kings?
Let me ask something. Is Chris Dunn ever going to score 40 points in a game?
I think he probably would.
Oh, come on. He can't shoot.
The other night he missed 14 of 17. I get it. I mean, you know, Nico's had nights like that.
And he scored on a bank shot that, like, banked off the backboard.
I mean, Dunn had
hit the front of the
32-point game against Dallas a couple weeks ago.
I was going to say.
I guess you're right. I guess if you're scoring 125 points, if you're giving up 130 points a game and you're going to score 140.
Again, you consider the competition.
Guess what?
It's an all-star game.
You always giving up 130 points a game, the Cavs. Have you seen that? 387 points
terrible.
Over the last three games. I mean, the Bulls' defense looks like it's airtight compared to what Cleveland's doing. I mean, think about that.
Wow, airtight. I don't think.
And on top of it, they're not scoring. What was it? 90 something points last night? The largest deficit that LeBron has had in the league?
Dunn's been a lot better than I thought he was.
In a funk.
Chris Dunn, it was awful in the beginning of the year, and now he's gotten better. I mean, is there like another level for him, I suppose, is the question.
He's 24. Time's going to tell. I mean, here's hoping they're both in all-star games together.
How old is Zach LaVine?
22, I believe.
I mean, think about that. And he's got a lot of games under his belt. That's pretty good.
Hey, you know, the Bulls aren't going anywhere unless both those guys find a real high ceiling.
And Markkanen is 22 as well. Is he 23? He's 22, right? Because he came out as a junior, but I don't.
Markkanen's 20.
Yeah,
he's
I was going to say, yeah.
He's 20 years old.
Yeah.
Come on now. That's the guy that's going to be the best player of the bunch. He's going to be the centerpiece of what they do. He fits in the offense perfectly.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to be interested to see the backcourt. I hope they start this guy because I want to see what he can do running with the point guard and having the other guy shoot. But I don't know, given the minutes limit and the rest of it, I suspect that they'll bring him off the bench. But, I mean, why? Because Justin Holiday might hurt his feelings? I wouldn't worry about that at all. I'm just saying. I'm not dissing him. I'm just saying that there is a hierarchy, and those three guys are the hierarchy.
Right. If you're going to bring him off the bench, then he shouldn't even play. Then just have him practice with the team whenever that can be.
You want to shut him down because of the draft pick.
Right.
You want to shut down. You want to keep Nico and hide him because once you get the draft pick, he might come.
I hope Brian is right, but I also hope
he's Dustin wanting to shut everybody down all the time.
Unless
you're the Warriors, shut everybody down all the time.
Well, because you want to save him, you want to save him from injury and hide him.
Did Jordan Howard need to take any of those hits the last game at Soldier Field this year?
The Bulls forfeited again. It's 2-0.
Nope. Wasted tackles. Wasted hits.
I don't know that you can ration out careers like that. I don't know that I'm just telling you. I don't know that that would work. I don't know that not playing a guy means that his career is extended.
Let me ask you.
How do you know? Well, he wouldn't get hurt in the game he didn't play, but how do you know
You could also shut down Tommy Edwards because there wouldn't be any introductions. And now, no one's on the bench.
I didn't suggest that, Brian. Now we're taking it one little step too far.
No, but that's what you're suggesting.
Yeah, exactly.
You're suggesting that the Bulls.
No, I'm suggesting.
Since they've decided to play him,
then he starts.
You know who gets to play? Explain him not starting. If you want to tank, have Feliciano play as many minutes as you possibly.
That's right. Get him back from Rolling Meadows or wherever. G League.
Me too.
Hoffman Estates.
All right. Very good. Really appreciate it.
$3 million a year G League player.
Want to thank everyone for calling.
I think he makes like seven or eight.
Texting and emailing. Most of all,
one of Gar's big contracts.
Thanks so much for listening. We certainly appreciate it.
Have a great weekend. If you're at the Cubs convention, come on by for the Tom Ricketts and family Q&A. We'll be out there. Mully and I will be out there emceeing at 10 a.m. And we'll be back bright and early live at 5 Monday morning. Please join us.
Mully and Hanley, 6-7 of the score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.